Do you remember during COVID how they ran around the country shutting down food processing facilities by faking a bunch of PCR tests? Remember that? In fact, the person I know who I've interviewed, Dr. Pete Chambers, he was working for the state of Texas. He was part of the team that was tasked with going from one place to another, and he was with a team that would run the PCR tests, and then they would shut down the plant. And he saw that. He saw that happening, and that's when he got red-pilled, by the way, when he started to see, oh my God, they're faking the tests and shutting down the food infrastructure in order to cause food scarcity. It was engineered famine, really kind of a pilot test case during COVID. So everything about COVID was just it was a pilot run for what's happening now. And that's what this podcast is all about. Because what's happening right now is the deliberate engineered shutdown of the world's energy infrastructure through the cover of war in the Middle East, but combined with sabotage teams running around the world blowing up refineries and fertilizer plants. That's happening in spades. And now plants are burning up or exploding in Myanmar, one in India, last week Australia, Mexico. Things are blowing up on a daily basis now. If you watch on social media, you'll find that this is highly unusual. Russia is losing oil facilities from drone attacks from the West. I already mentioned Myanmar. Lots of refineries are catching fire or exploding. This is clearly a pattern. It's not random. So globalist sabotage teams, and you may remember 1 to 2 years ago, or actually it was more than that, it was maybe in the aftermath of COVID, they were running around burning down the food processing facilities. You recall that? Remember how we had that string of fires? There's like 100 food facilities were burned down all across the country. Like, what's going on? And then I talked to my friend Michael Yan, who's, you know, former Special Forces operator and also, you know, a war journalist, you could say, right? And he said on camera in several interviews, he said that part of their training was to learn how to burn things down, because they would go into a country and it would be easier to burn things down than to blow things up. Starting a fire and burning down a whole facility, also, it leaves behind almost no trace of what caused it. Whereas if you blow something up, people are going to notice, hey, there was a giant explosion, there was a big kaboom, and debris was blown everywhere. It's like, yep, that was a bomb. But if, as part of a special forces operation, if you go in to, you know, enemy territory and you just start setting fire to everything, many of them will think, well, gosh, it was just an accident. You know, somehow it was sparks or whatever, there was electrical fault and stuff just burned down. So it covers your tracks. And that's what's happening right now with the refineries. Somebody, probably special forces, maybe even on a global scale, there might be special teams that are not just Americans. It could be Europeans. It could be whoever the globalists could get, right? And they dispatch them to all these different countries and say, look, your job is to burn down the refineries. All you got to do is start a fire and let it spread. And it turns out that's actually not that difficult for properly trained military sabotage teams to carry out. They know how to burn stuff down because they've practiced it. You know, they're good at destroying things. And I believe that's what's happening right now. So again, the war is taking hydrocarbons offline at an alarming ratio. We've already lost right now about 20% of the world's oil supply. And as I covered in a report yesterday, Iran is threatening to increase that to about 32% by shutting off access to the Red Sea and destroying another pipeline from Saudi Arabia. That would be nearly one third of the global oil supply offline. But that's apparently not enough, because that would only kill maybe a billion people with extreme starvation, maybe not even a billion. We calculated it'd be maybe 800 million people would be thrust into extreme poverty facing famine. So how do they kill billions? Well, they have to shut down even more of the energy infrastructure. So on top of the war, then they do the sabotage. And if that's not enough, they have other cards to play. They can do a radiological dirty bomb attack. They can do an EMP attack. They can simulate a solar flare or simulate an alien invasion and use it to take everything down. They can simulate, or they can do a cyber attack on the power grid and take it down themselves and blame somebody else. There are a number of cards they can play, but it's clear that the plan is to take down the world's energy infrastructure, because that feeds everything downstream. Energy results in fertilizer. Energy is necessary to farm. Energy is necessary for transportation. Energy is necessary for manufacturing, etc., etc. Energy is necessary for AI, too, by the way. Boy, the AI data centers are going to be very unhappy about that. That's why they're building their own nuclear power plants, by the way. They're going to have their own energy that's not on the grid. That's their plan. They're running gas turbines right now at many data centers. It's completely off the grid. They're not using the power grid in many of these centers. They're just using gas or, you know, nuclear, what have you, or planning on using nuclear. So, as the energy supply craters globally, you're going to go through stages of collapse. And the first stage is what we're in right now, which is where the early signs are already evident. It's like looking into the distance and you can see there's an avalanche on a distant mountain. You're like, wow, isn't that pretty? Look, the snow's coming down. It's flowing down the field. Isn't that great? Look at that. It's so pretty. It's all fluffy. And in stage one, most people think everything's fine. A few people see the signs coming and they start to get concerned and they start, you know, prepping. And maybe we better get some backup diesel. Maybe we should grow a little bit more of our own food. Maybe we should have backup food supplies. Yeah, but that's the minority. Then in the next stage, which we're about to transition into, you start to have signs of concern in a more mainstream audience. People start to freak out over some items not being available at the grocery store. Items that they're used to buying. Or grocery store prices going up much faster than they ever thought could happen. Or gas and diesel prices going up much more quickly than they ever imagined. That's coming within a matter of just probably 2 to 4 weeks in North America. A lot more mainstream concern as things start to get much more expensive and a few noticeable shortages begin to emerge. But it's not the end of the world yet, right? It's not Mad Max. You can still get food. You can still get gas. It just costs more. So this is the concern stage. And people still, they hold out hope that, hey, maybe Trump told the truth today and the war really is over and Iran capitulated and they surrendered to everything because, you know, he claims that about once a week. It's never true, but people believe it every week. See, we won, you know, and then 24 hours later, you can't find that person anymore because they're too humiliated to speak again because they believe Trump again, you know, like a fool. So the next stage after that, after concern, is panic. And panic happens when people start to realize, holy cow, this is not going to get resolved quickly. And we are going to face some severe supply chain shortages. Might not be able to find the food that we want to eat and might not be able to afford it because the prices are going up so quickly. And we might not be able to get fuel, which means we're going to be, you know, locked down. We're going to be stuck. And that's part of the energy lockdown, folks, is, yeah, you have a car. You just can't afford to drive it anywhere. And there might be fuel rationing on top of that in the later stages, by the way, which means you only have, you know, a couple of gallons a week or whatever. So the panic stage has not yet set in North America, but it's going to. That is, unless somehow this whole war gets resolved and all the sabotage stops. But I doubt it, because this looks like a deliberate plan. This is an engineered step-by-step plan for a global takedown of energy infrastructure and the food supply in order to thrust billions of people into poverty and famine. That's clearly what is happening. So I don't think they're going to stop this. Even if there's peace with Iran, then the powers that be will find another reason to close the Strait of Hormuz or destroy the South Pars gas field. Maybe they'll have a nuke go off in Qatar and destroy all 14 gas trains that are there, right? And then the world is absolutely screwed at that point, just absolutely screwed. But whatever it takes, they will find a reason, a justification, to shut off the supply, because this is the pinch. I'm calling it the pinch. This is the pinch. They're pinching off the supply of food and energy that keeps humanity alive. And as a result, people will begin to die. And when I say the pinch, it's because it's not a total extermination. They're not going to kill 8 billion people. That's probably difficult, maybe impossible. But they can kill 2 billion, 3 billion, 4 billion, 5 billion, even 6, maybe even 7 if they add on layers of warfare and, you know, banking collapse and things like that. They might be able to get it to 7 billion people. But more likely, they'll only get to like 2 to 4 billion people, which is still a lot of people, don't get me wrong. But that's, you know, less than half of the human population. But for the globalists, they would consider that to be a success. If they could get rid of half, then they've, you know, cut the population down to size. They've mowed the lawn, as, you know, Israel likes to say. They've mowed the lawn on planet Earth, cut the population down. And then the governments will be solvent much longer without having to pay all the benefits of Social Security and welfare and Medicare and things like that. You see? There's even a financial incentive on the part of governments to exterminate as many people as possible, especially those who are costing them money. Now, add to this one more factor that you may not have considered, and that is the rise of robots and AI. And now you have Elon Musk talking about the universal high income, which is just a variation of universal basic income, or UBI, where the government prints the money and hands it out to everybody and says, oh, even though you don't work anymore because we don't need your work because you've been replaced by robots, we still need you to consume stuff. So here, just have free money every month, and your job is to just buy stuff to keep the economy going, right? And some people just gullibly believe that that would be the answer. Like, yeah, the government just wants to keep us all around and keep us all on the government's payroll, even though we contribute nothing to government money and power, and they're not taking tax money from us because we're not working. We are nothing but an expense line on the government's balance sheet. But yeah, the government wants to keep us around just because they're nice people there in Washington, D.C. They're just such nice people. Some people tell themselves this fairy tale, but you and I know that once there is a UBI or a UHI, the government will work in every way possible to exterminate the largest number of people possible, because that's their financial incentive. The United States government can't print $12 trillion a year to hand $10,000 a month to 100 million people, because that's what it would cost, $12 trillion a year. That's not going to work. The currency would collapse. So if they manage to cut the population of recipients by 50 million people, then they could cut that to like $6 trillion a year, which is still insane. But maybe they'll cut some more, you know, maybe they'll cut 75% or 75 million Americans, you know, dead from whatever. And then they could cut that to like $3 trillion a year of the UBI. At that point, they could print that and probably get away with it, you see. So it creates a perverse incentive. The whole UBI concept creates an incentive for governments to figure out how to get rid of you as quickly as possible. And they certainly won't be pushing longevity solutions, that's for sure. And when AI, let's say, discovers anti-aging magic cures, which a lot of AI people believe that's going to happen, you know, I'm not so sure about that, but they believe that, that would be the worst nightmare for a government that's handing out UBI money. They don't want you to live forever, for God's sake. They need you to die and get off the payroll. So you think they would allow longevity cures to ever surface in the ecosystem? No, that would be censored like nothing else. They would ban it. They would outlaw it. If there were, you know, a live forever molecule, you know, like a magic peptide, and, you know, you take a pill a day and you live forever, you stop aging. If that existed, that would be the most outlawed thing in the world, except all of the elite would be taking it themselves, so they could live forever. And it might replace, you know, all the adrenochrome supply that they're currently living on. They wouldn't have to source as much of that, which, you know, since Jeffrey Epstein's island is out of business, has become more difficult for them. So if they had a longevity peptide, they would love that, but they sure wouldn't let you have access to it. They want you and all the masses to die as quickly as possible, especially if you're on a UBI. And that's why I've said the UBI is actually going to be a DOA, dead on arrival. That's how they want you, DOA, not UBI. They don't want to have to hand out stuff to you all the time. They want you to die and leave and go away, vanish, so they can have more for themselves, obviously. I mean, if you think the government cares about you, then you're delusional. If you think Big Pharma cares about you, you're delusional. If you think the FDA cares about you, you're delusional. Only you have your own self-interest at heart. And everybody else in the centralized system of government and industry and medicine, all of them are working against you at every turn. They want you to die as soon as possible. And while you're not quite dead, but in the process of dying, they want to extract all the money you ever earned through health insurance costs and experimental drugs and doctor's visits and whatever else, so that you die quickly, but also penniless, with them having extracted everything out of you right before you die, the way they mine aluminum out of rock. They want to mine your wealth out of your dead, limp body before you expire. That's the goal of Big Pharma and industry and the government. And of course, the government's goal is for you to just die as quickly as possible after you stop working. So up until the day that you retire, they love you. Like, keep sending us money with your voluntary taxation. Yeah, keep sending it. We will extract from your work. And then the day you stop working, they're like, hurry up and die, because we don't need you on the payroll here. We don't want to have to, you know, keep giving you money. So think about that as AI and robotics rise up and replace human jobs, but also the possibility of more longevity research, especially using AI to discover some pretty amazing, maybe new peptides and new things that do have longevity benefits. Man, they will ban that as quickly as they can. And you will only find out about those things through people like me, who are outside the system. Brightvideos.com, naturalnews.com. I mean, I'm talking about therapeutic peptides right now, but there isn't a magic live forever pill that exists. There are peptides that can help you in many ways and improve the quality of your life, but they're not going to make you, you know, an eternal being, because that might be a bad idea anyway. Do you really want to stick around here forever with all these nut jobs running the world? No. That seems like a prescription for hell, actually. So get your business done and move on. But the government wants to get rid of you as quickly as possible, obviously, after you stop working. All right. So there you go. That's why the energy infrastructure, just to summarize, that's why energy infrastructure is being deliberately destroyed. That's why things are blowing up all over the world. That's why this war is actually a cover story. That's why the U.S. is blocking the Strait of Hormuz. Well, I guess blocking the traffic from it, even though the blockade is out in the Arabian Sea, but it's traffic from the Strait. That's why all this is happening. The order came down from the globalist regime. Shut off the world's energy, starve people to death, cause extreme poverty, near Mad Max conditions, and we'll see how many people we can kill, and then we'll unleash the robots to replace them or exterminate them, or maybe both. Exterminate them first and then replace them. That's where we are in history right now. And a lot of humans right now who have jobs are being told to wear cameras, or like wear, you know, glasses that record the video. And that's all being streamed back. In fact, I think some, is it FedEx or Amazon? One of the delivery companies is doing this. I think it's Amazon. Because they're gathering data to train the robots to replace the humans. So a lot of humans are actually gathering the data to train their AI replacements. It's happening in factories. It's happening in delivery services, like I just said. It's happening in coding. It's happening in a lot of intellectual type of jobs, architecture, you know, engineering, medicine, you name it, legal. So unbeknownst to most humans, they are training their replacements in the middle of a global mass extermination agenda that wants to kill them pretty soon. You know, as soon as they can be fully replaced. That's actually what's happening. And yet the average American consumer right now is like, you know, why are prices so high? It must be these dang grocery stores price gouging, because they can only see as far as the grocery store. They don't know where food comes from. They don't know where fertilizer comes from. They don't know what's the role of natural gas in making urea or ammonia or anything. You know, they have no knowledge of any supply chain. Everything is just right here in front of me. They're going to be confused and befuddled for a long time to come as things go badly in their lives, and they're not going to know what happened. But you, on the other hand, you and I, and now we'll be living in the same crappy collapse, but at least we'll know what's happening, and at least we can take steps to prepare in advance, which is what we're all doing right now. If you want to be prepared, let me give you a couple of resources. Of course, healthrangerstore.com for your food, backup food supplies, certified organic, laboratory tested, long-term storable. We've got freeze-dried selections and the Ranger buckets, durable, nearly rodent-proof. I think a raccoon would have a hard time getting into one of those, but maybe with enough time they could. Raccoons are pretty clever little creatures with seemingly opposable thumbs. Makes them especially treacherous. But on top of that, then, for backup communications and solar generators, check out our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com. And with a little bit of preparation and a lot of knowledge and some faith and some optimism, we can make it through the mass culling. Even if literally half the population is murdered, we can make it through. I truly believe that. We can make it through this. Most people probably cannot, but we can. That's the power of knowledge and preparedness and some self-reliance skills and things like that. So it's not going to be easy, but it's doable. All right. And I will keep you posted as best I can through all of this. So thank you for listening. You can follow more of my videos, of course, at brightvideos.com or my articles at naturalnews.com. And I've got some really popular infographics that are appearing there now at the bottom of each of my articles. I think you'll enjoy those infographics. They're always fun and informative. Somebody told me the other day, I don't even read your article. I just look at the infographic. I'm like, really? You don't read the article? Nope. Ain't got no time. Read the article. No, they didn't talk like that. I don't have time to read the article. I just want to read the infographic. It just gives me the whole thing faster. I'm like, so if I just posted infographics and no articles, you would be totally okay with that? He's like, yep. I just want the infographics. Huh. Well, that's interesting, because the infographic is only created after the article is created, and the article text is fed into the infographic prompt that creates the infographic prompt, the actual text instructions to build the infographic, and then that is sent off to the infographic image generator. So I think without the article, there is no infographic. I mean, that's the way it works. We actually have to have the article first, because how else does the AI engine know how to describe the infographic? It's reading the article, and it's like, you should make an infographic kind of like this article, but visually, obviously. That's one of the little secrets behind the infographics. You have to have good text to work with, hence the article. But anyway, some people just love the infographics, and that's all they need. Maybe I'll just have an infographic website that is just a bunch of, you know, informative info. Probably that'd be the most popular thing of all. Maybe I should just stop writing stuff and just do that. I don't know. You tell me. Let me know if you think that's a good idea. But thanks for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, here for naturalnews.com and brightvideos.com. Take care.
Stock up on Health Ranger's nascent iodine, highly bioavailable, shelf-stable, non-GMO, and lab-tested for purity. A bug-out bag essential. Only at healthrangerstore.com.